Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued.
You know those days, right? Where you're just sprinting through life, maybe feeling like your to-do list is, well, actively plotting against you.
Oh, definitely.
I had one just yesterday trying to wrestle a flat pack bookshelf into existence.
Yeah.
It felt almost like a cosmic joke.
Been there.
We're all guilty of it, though, I think. Myself included. We kind of navigate our worlds, often with our eyes fixed firmly on the next task, the next goal.
Yeah, tunnel vision.
And we miss the little bits of magic scattered right there, you know, under our noses.
Yeah.
Well, today we're diving into something really special, something that aims to maybe transform that perspective.
That's intriguing.
We're exploring a piece called A Litany of Wonder. It's from a fascinating corner of the internet, a website called The Church of Tinkerbell.
Okay.
And just to give you a feel for their vibe, their tagline is Radical Kindness, Whimsy, Glitter Love, Laugh, Question.
I like that. Whimsy and glitter, yeah.
Yeah. How perfectly intriguing is that? So our mission in this deep dive is really to unpack how we can pause, how we can really pay attention, and maybe discover what the source calls the sacred hidden in plain sight.
Hidden right there in our daily lives.
Exactly. Woven into the fabric of it all. So, okay, if we're all sort of guilty of this rushing around, how exactly does this litany invite us to rethink our daily experience?
Well, what's truly fascinating here is how a litany of wonder presents itself. It's explicitly stated right up front that it's not a sermon.
Right, not preachy.
No, not an academic essay either, which maybe you'd expect. It calls itself a spell, a meditation, a blessing, a reminder.
A spell. That's interesting.
It is, isn't it? It signals this isn't about like intellectual debate or trying to convince you of some grand philosophy.
More experiential.
Exactly. It's an invitation to a different way of experiencing the world, a kind of practical application of wonder. It's asking us to practice what it calls sacred play.
Sacred play.
And crucially, not by escaping reality, you know, wishing for something else.
Which is tempting sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. But instead, by actively falling in love with it more deeply, with reality itself.
Falling in love with reality.
Yes. So this deep dive hopefully will guide you, the listener, to look at your own world, your own everyday life, through a completely new, maybe more appreciative lens.
And that's exactly where we need to kick off, I think, challenging our assumptions about where wonder actually lives.
Right, because we tend to think big.
Totally. We often save wonder for, like, the Grand Canyon or maybe huge life achievements. But this source beautifully articulates that wonder isn't some rare, far-off thing.
No, it's right here.
It's scattered through our ordinary days. That's the phrase they use. It encourages us to shift from what might sometimes feel like a litany of sorrow.
All the worries, the regrets.
Exactly. Shift from that to a litany of wonder, actively seeking out the small delights that are already present.
Okay, so give us some examples from the litany itself.
Oh, they're lovely. Consider this. Blessed be the steam that curls from a morning cup.
Simple. I can picture that.
Right. Or, blessed be the warmth of laundry just out of the dryer.
Yes. That's a good one.
These are such tiny, fleeting things, aren't they? But consciously observing them, really seeing that steam, really feeling that warmth, it can transform a mundane routine
into something more like a mindful ritual.
Exactly. It's like a micro-meditation almost.
Mm-hmm.
Even things like the hush of fresh snow before the world has touched it.
That silence.
Or the moments when a song you love finds you unexpectedly. You know, on the radio or in a shop.
Oh, that's always a great moment.
What's truly profound here, I think, beyond just the nice language, is the reframing. It's not just about appreciating small things. It's recognizing that our sense of meaning, our joy, It's constructed from these moments.
Rather than waiting for the Big Bang events.
Precisely. It suggests these small wonders are the architecture of meaning. That fundamentally shifts how we think about happiness itself, doesn't it?
It really does. And that's exactly it. If we connect this to the bigger picture, these seemingly small moments, they're incredibly powerful because they act as anchors.
Anchors, okay.
They anchor us to the moment, to ourselves, to each other. This practice of intentionally noticing these Well, these breadcrumbs of magic, as I sometimes think of them.
I like that. Breadcrumbs of magic.
It's deeply connected to well-established psychological concepts like intentional living and mindfulness.
Right. Those buzzwords we hear a lot.
But this makes them practical. It's about consciously choosing to engage with the present rather than just letting life sweep us along unobserved.
Yeah.
This isn't just poetic fluff. It aligns beautifully with things like positive psychology's focus on savoring.
Savory.
Yeah, where consciously attending to positive experiences actually amplifies their impact and makes them last longer in our minds.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it makes these sometimes abstract ideas incredibly concrete and, you know, relatable to your daily experience. It shows you how simple acts of attention can profoundly shift your perspective, building that architecture of meaning right in your own life.
It really hammers home that wonder isn't something we just passively wait for, is it?
Not at all.
The litany describes it as something we must allow. That's an active stance. It visits in silence. It hides in repetition.
So it's not about chasing it down.
No, more like opening ourselves up to it.
Yeah.
And the more we open up, the more it seems to, well, appear. That's a fantastic thought. The more we notice, the more there is to notice.
Ah, I love that.
Wonder multiplies under the microscope of attention.
A microscope of attention? That's a great image.
What strikes me about the examples they give is how they make this actively seeking wonder feel less like a chore, you know, and more like a treasure hunt.
Yeah, less pressure.
Right. Like praise for the ache in your cheeks from laughing too hard.
Oh, yes. That specific feeling.
Such a specific joyful sensation. It's like a physical marker of pure delight. Or praise for the first bite of something sweet. Simple pleasure. And how about for dandelion wishes? For squirrels with too much to say.
The squirrels definitely have a lot to say in my garden. These aren't grand philosophical points. They're immediate sensory experiences. But I do wonder, for someone who feels constantly overwhelmed, maybe just stretched thin, how do they even begin to cultivate this microscope of attention the litany talks about?
That's a really crucial question, yeah.
Are there practical first steps buried in here?
I think there are, because it can feel daunting when life is just pulling you in a million directions. The litany offers a really powerful clue, though. It says, our bodies are wonder makers, our senses are portals.
Okay, bodies and senses.
It shifts our focus from like an abstract mental exercise, which can feel hard.
Yeah, another thing to do.
Exactly. To something profoundly physical. So your first step isn't necessarily about clearing your mind entirely, like in deep meditation, but simply tuning into one of your senses.
Just one.
Like an open door.
Precisely. Think about it as an open door to presence, one that's always available no matter what else is going on.
Okay.
And the text gives us such vivid sensory examples, doesn't it? Glory to the breeze that finds you on a hot day.
Oh, that relief.
That cool whisper on your skin, the immediate relief, boom, that's a moment of wonder right there. Or glory to the softness of moss under bare feet.
Not sure I've done that recently.
Well, maybe not moss, but how often do we truly feel the texture of the ground we walk on, even through our shoes?
Good point.
Even something as common as glory to the rain that taps on windows like an old friend, and that specific beautiful word for the scent of earth after rain.
Petrichor.
Petrichor, exactly. Ancient and sacred, it calls it. By just tuning in to these sensory hits, we're reminded of a fundamental truth. We are not separate from this world.
Right.
We are stitched into it, thread by sensory thread. Our physical experience isn't just functional, it's this constant, rich connection to everything around us.
Thread by sensory thread.
And it's this very connection, the sensory portal, that then starts to profoundly reshape how we view our very own body.
Okay, because it completely dismantles the idea of anything being just anything.
Right? Yeah, exactly. No more just.
The litany challenges us, you know, to banish phrases like, no, just a Tuesday. No, just a sandwich. No, just getting through the day.
We say that all the time, just getting through.
We do. It's about recognizing that actually every moment is saturated with the potential for joy if we choose to see it.
If we choose, that's the key.
That reframes the mundane into something potentially extraordinary by adjusting our perception.
Mm.
It's not just seeing individual moments. It's understanding that this mindset fundamentally shifts our relationship with the entirety of our day.
Turning a just into maybe a sacred opportunity.
Yes, a sacred opportunity. And the examples are, frankly, so charming and relatable. Thanks for library shelves and dog-eared pages.
Oh, lovely.
Your fireflies and flashlight tag. These evoke such warmth, don't they? Memories maybe of childhood or just quiet contentment.
Definitely.
For the way a cat blinks slowly at someone it trusts.
The slow blink, a high honor.
It really is, that tiny gesture of deep, quiet connection, and this one. For sidewalks with chalk-scrawled galaxies and children who believe they can fly.
Beautiful, captures that innocence.
It perfectly captures the essence of that sacred play idea, which the source defines as bringing reverence into the ordinary, finding joy even in life's quirks and imperfections. Mm-hmm. But I can imagine some listeners thinking, okay, that's lovely, but my Tuesday really does feel like just a Tuesday. How do I genuinely shift that ingrained perspective?
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard. That's a very real challenge because we're often conditioned, aren't we, to prioritize productivity, efficiency,
yeah,
getting things done over actual presence.
Decking boxes.
Right. But this actually leads us to a really powerful reflection in the litany about our relationship with our own physical selves. Our bodies.
Okay.
Which is often, let's be honest, a source of judgment or frustration rather than wonder.
Sadly.
We tend to treat our bodies like machines, something to optimize, fix, maybe complain about, or just use to get from A to B.
The transport vehicle.
Exactly. But the litany offers this radical alternative. It describes our bodies as libraries of sensation, altars of experience, maps of survival and resilience.
Wow. Libraries, altars, maps. That's quite a reframe.
Isn't it? It encourages a profound, radical gratitude for the body. And notice, not for how it looks necessarily.
This is where we usually go.
Right. But for its very function, its existence, for the stories it tells through sensation and experience.
Okay, tell me more about that. Examples.
Consider these lines. Hallelujah for freckles and birthmarks, cartographies of the body.
Cartographies. Maps again.
Yeah. These natural marks become unique maps of our journey, not imperfections to be concealed. And this one's powerful. Hallelujah for scars that prove you healed.
That lands differently.
What a reinterpretation, right? Something often seen as a flaw, a reminder of pain, is reframed as a testament to resilience, proof of survival.
Proof you made it through.
Exactly. And hallelujah for goosebumps, for tears that water the soul, for the way laughter erupts without permission.
Involuntary responses.
Honest expressions of our inner life, our connection to our emotions, to the world. It's a complete paradigm shift, potentially. What if we blessed our bodies not for appearance, but for all the ways it lets us be alive?
For what they do, not just how they look.
Precisely. It's a practice that can really ground you in your own being, maybe making those just Tuesdays feel a little less just when you're experiencing them through this appreciated body.
I find that incredibly liberating, actually, this idea of holiness in the unfinished, too. It feels especially potent today in a world obsessed with curated perfection.
The Instagram effect.
Totally. It challenges us to look past the filter, doesn't it? And embrace what's actually real. The litany reminds us that we don't need perfection to find beauty.
What do we need, then?
It says, we need truth. We need presence. We need permission to be human.
Permission to be human. That's big.
It really is. It urges us to find holiness in the unfinished and, I love this, beauty in the clutter.
Beauty in the clutter. Music to my ears.
The examples here are just so relatable and comforting, I think. All honor to the messes we make while learning.
Yes. Anyone who's tried a new skill knows that mess.
Oh, yeah. Or to the mismatched socks that still do the job.
Function over form.
It's about functionality, humor, realism over rigid perfection. And to the dishes that mean a meal was shared.
Evidence of connection.
Exactly. These aren't failures or signs of disarray. They're evidence of life actually happening, of connection, of nourishment. Even to the dust dancing in sunlight.
Which we usually just want to wipe away.
Right. Or to the spider weaving with exquisite patience in the corner. Elevated to moments of wonder. It's about finding the sacred, not just in pristine, perfect spaces, but in the vibrant, sometimes chaotic, truth of daily existence.
And that acceptance of imperfection, that finding beauty in the clutter, it beautifully segues into the profound wonder of human connection itself.
Ah, yeah.
Which is often at the very heart of our mess and our joy.
Right. Yes.
The source highlights how powerful even tiny interactions can be. It states, a single moment of kindness can restore our faith in the whole world.
Wow. That's a bold claim, but it feels true sometimes.
It does, doesn't it? It's an acknowledgement that these moments matter. They ripple. We're talking about really simple things like, rejoice in the kind stranger who lets you go first in line.
That's Malnot.
Just a simple act that acknowledges your humanity. Or rejoice in the friend who answers on the second ring.
Meaning they're there, they picked up right away.
Signifying that immediate presence, that care. It matters.
It really does.
And then there are those quiet moments, the ones that say, you are here, you are breathing, and that is enough.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Just enough.
It's a simple yet incredibly profound affirmation of our existence, our place, a deep well of self-acceptance, maybe.
Yeah.
And the litany kind of culminates this whole section with a truly profound statement. In the end, love is the deepest form of wonder.
Love is wonder.
And the most renewable. It feels like it encapsulates everything this practice aims to achieve, a deeper connection to ourselves, certainly, but also to our world, and crucially, to each other. A continuous cycle of discovery and gratitude.
So what this all means, really, is that a litany of wonder isn't just a list of lovely thoughts to read once.
No, it's more active than that.
It's truly a way of seeing, a way of being. It's described as a practice to return to when the world feels gray and heavy, like a tool, almost.
A tool for resilience, maybe, and joy?
Exactly. A tool for resilience and joy. It encourages us, really implores us, not to overlook the sacred in the crumbs, the cathedral in the canopy, the miracle of a held hand.
Beautiful phrasing.
It's an invitation, ultimately, to make a religion out of paying attention.
A religion of attention.
And to build an altar from all we usually overlook. By consciously engaging in this practice, by noticing and blessing the small, ordinary things, the source promises that we become wondrous ourselves.
We become wondrous. That's a lovely closing thought from the source.
It really is.
And so after hearing all of this, maybe for you, our listener, we just invite you to pause for a moment and consider, what might your own litany look like?
Your personal litany.
Yeah. What small, beautiful things have whispered to you lately? What tiny mercies or delights maybe deserve to be named, to be blessed in your own mind, to be held up just for a second as a moment of wonder?
Doesn't have to be poetry.
Not at all. You don't have to write them in verse or even speak them aloud if you don't want to. The invitation is simpler. You only have to notice, to pause, to bless, to begin.
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.